This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته First of all, let me ask you again to press subscribe If you're on your phone or on your laptop, on your desktop computer, please press subscribe, please. I don't want to repeat the fact that there's no charge for it and I'll never charge you for it. But please press subscribe. I don't want any one of you to miss out on any of the lectures I'm going to give in the future. So please, please, please subscribe. Shukran. Now, just to recap what I said in the last lecture, I alluded to the state of Iman of the people of Makkah, or the lack of Iman. And the definition of Shirk. Now you may ask, but you know, Why do you keep delving on the subject shirk? After all, we don't commit shirk. Muslims do not make shirk. And I explained to you that the word shirk does not only mean to worship two gods or three gods, or to say that God is two or three. That is part of it, but not all of it. Most of the meaning of shirk lies in worshipping others besides Allah, making ibadah to other than Allah. But you say, but I make salah to Allah. Of course. But there are many instances that we are unaware of where we do not always make that direct contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We place something in between. And why is it so important? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a subject, the most important subject in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the subject of shirk. Why do I say that? You know, for everything you say in deen, you must have evidence. Why is the most important subject that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about shirk? The most important indicator of the importance of it is that for most of his time as a prophet, he had to speak only about shirk. And he only had to tell them what shirk was, and he only had to dissuade them and persuade the people of Makkah not to commit shirk. 13 years, that was his work. He had no other work. There was no telling people to make salah. There was no telling people to make zakah. There was no telling people to fast in the month of Ramadan. There was no telling people to go for hajj. These things were non-existent. For 13 years, Allah didn't impose any of these faraid on the people of Makkah, or on any Muslim for that matter. So all the people who became Muslim in Makkah, for 13 years, there was no salah, no zakah. But what was the mission then? If there was no salah, what was the mission? The mission was to convince the Quraysh that shirk is haramun, haramun, haram. And shirk will not bring them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they die mushrikun, they will go straight to Jahannam. I'm not saying this. Don't say he puts people... No. Allah, read the Quran and see how many times Allah mentions the word shirk. Let me give you an example. What Allah says about shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that's Surah number 5, verse 72. What does Allah say? Allah talks about everybody. This verse is not related to Muslim or non-Muslim, but it refers mainly to Muslims. And I'll tell you why. Allah says, innahu, verily he, verily that person, innahu, inna is affirmative, confirmative article. Innahu, verily he, man yushrik, who makes shirk billahi, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says, verily he who makes shirk with Allah, Allah has made haram for him the Jannah. Whether he made 5 times salat salah, whether he went 30,000 times to Makkah, whether he fasted for 1999 years, whether he gave zakah millions and billions of rands, if he made shirk, what does Allah say? Jannah is haram for him. Jannah is haram for him. You can look at the verse. I'll give you the reference again. Surah Maida, verse number 72. 13 years, this was the message. 13 years, this was the message. Allah says in Surah Nisa, which is the full surah, verse 48, and in the same surah, the same verse at 112. Repetition of exactly the same verse. Surah An-Nisa, surah 4, verse 48. And verse of the same surah, surah An-Nisa, surah number 4, verse 112. Subhanallah. Allah repeats exactly the same verse in the same surah. What does Allah say? Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. سبحان الله. اللهم اغفر لنا يا رب. اللهم باعدنا من الشرك. Oh Allah, take us far away from shirk. Forgive us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ. Allah will not forgive أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that a person should make shirk with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. What does Allah say? Same verse, same surah. Verse 48 and verse 112. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah will not forgive you if you make shirk. Meaning, if you make shirk, you're out of the fold of Islam. You're not a Muslim anymore. Because if Allah doesn't forgive you, what is the basis of forgiveness? Forgiveness is first you must say, La ilaha illallah. First you must establish your tawheed. Then Allah says, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَى. But Allah will forgive all other sins that you commit. Allah will forgive every single sin that you commit. But if you make shirk, what must you do when you make shirk, when you know you've made shirk? You must read your shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and make tawbah and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because by shirk you have cut off your ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, don't you agree with me, brothers and sisters, that this is the most important thing we must teach our children? Number one, before we teach them a salah and zakah and everything else, this was the first lesson taught by a Nabi to his son. Prophet didn't have sons. He had, but they died all in the young age. So Allah gives an example of another Nabi. What was his name? Nabi Luqman. Luqman the wise. What was the advice he gave to his child? What did he start with when he gave? It was a long list of things he told his son. But what was the first thing he told his son? The first thing he told his son was, La tushrik billah. Ya bunay, oh my son, La tushrik billah. First commandment of a prophet to his son. Do not make shirk with Allah. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. He said, shirk is a grave crime. Says to his son. He didn't say be respectful to your parents. No, no, no. First thing, we don't do this. So when people come along and take our sons away from us and our daughters and lead them on another path, we are shocked because they don't know. To them it looks fine. Because their parents haven't taught them. My child, remember, if somebody comes with this kind of information to you, turn your back and go away. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think you will agree with me, brothers and sisters, young people, girls and boys, teenagers, that this is probably going to be last week's lecture, and this lecture and future lectures will probably give you a very sound understanding, inshallah, of what this is. And I'm going to base today's lecture on a chapter in a book written by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali. This is not the Ghazali that we know of. This is the Ghazali who lived now and died in the 1980s. Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali. You should Google him and see who this man was, an international scholar. Probably one of the greatest scholars of this century, of this time. And the book that I'm going to use is Aqidatul Muslim. You can hear what the name is about. Aqidatul Muslim, the belief of a Muslim. And he deals with certain questions. He says, and these are questions that I've raised also in all the ulama of Tawheed and ulama who are set on making known to people what shirk really is. He says, somebody wrote to him and said to him the following. Jumhur an-nas usat. He says that person who wrote these questions to him said that all human beings are sinners. Wallahi, he says, innama yataqabbalu al-muttaqin. Wallahu innama yataqabbalu min al-muttaqin. And the person who writes says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from those who are muttaqeen. Meaning Allah only accepts the dua of those who are true believers. So what does this man say? He says, all of us are sinners. And Allah only accepts the dua of those who are good people. Only the good people's dua are accepted. And the person writes further, he says, لَوْ ذَهَبَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. If a person goes to his Lord, but he's a sinful man. He commits sin continuously, does all kinds of wrong things. Allah will not answer his prayer. That's what the person says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give him anything that he asks for. No fadl will come to him. No goodness will come to him. وَمِنْ ثَمَّ فَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ. And therefore, it is incumbent on such a sinner to seek for himself a means, an accepted means, to ask Allah, such as a pious wali, a pious friend of Allah, for example. So basically what this man is saying to him, we're all sinners. Allah only accepts the dua of those who are muttaqeen, who are good people. And therefore, a person who is very sinful and he wants to ask Allah maybe for forgiveness, he should seek out somebody who is pious and ask that person to make dua for him. Number two, the person says, And we cannot say that this is shirk. Person says to the shirk, he writes, he says, I don't consider this to be shirk. He says, because the man's niyyah is about his deeds being accepted by Allah. That's his intention. This is a very good intention. He really wants Allah to forgive him. And he feels that if he goes to this person, how can that be shirk? And he says, the people who makes tawassul, who ask people to intercede for them, dead or alive, their intention is not to make shirk, nor do they condone it. So how could we say they're committing shirk? They're Muslims, they make salah, they give zakah, everything. He says, but these people feel that they need someone better than them to intercede for them on this dunya while they're alive, to forgive them or to grant them whatever they, maybe they want their health, maybe they want their wealth, maybe they want whatever they want. And this man says, الصحابة والفقراء والأئمة جميعا, he says, the Sahaba and the scholars and the Imams, all of them used to make intercession between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bil Anbiya, they used to use the prophets to make intercession with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used the awliya, the friends of Allah, to intercede for them on the behalf of Allah while they're alive on this dunya. And this person gives an example. He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he used Abbas, the uncle of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to intercede on the day when, you know, there was drought in Medina. So he wanted somebody who was closest to the Prophet to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send rain. And Umar ibn al-Khattab felt that Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib was the best person to ask. And that shows that tawassul or intercession through somebody else is allowed. And then this person writes and he says, the writer of the questions, he quotes from Surah Kahf. You know the three things that happened to Nabi Musa and Khidr, when this wall was leaning over. And Khidr said to Musa, help me build up this wall because this wall is going to fall over. So Musa said, alayhi salatu wasalam said, why must I build up this wall? We just asked these people for some food. They refused to give us food. Why should I not do this? So Khidr said to Musa, Nabi Musa, كان أبوهما صالحا. Verily, after explaining to him that the inheritance of some orphan children are buried under this wall, and that the father of these two orphans was a very pious man. So this man who writes the question, he says, isn't this an example that the acts of the dead, the goodness of the dead, flows over onto the living? You're saying that the father was a good man, so means his goodness is still working. So dead people's goodness is still working. We still, you know, we should acknowledge it. And then also he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ. He says, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and when they do wrong, they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ask you, that you must ask Allah to forgive them. In the Quran. So he says, look, people, in the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for them, to intercede for them, to ask them on behalf of themselves, to make istighfar. And Shaykh Muhammad Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, He said he received a letter from one of the scholars of Al-Azhar one day. And one of the officials of Al-Azhar, who said in this letter that إِنَّ التَّوَسُّلْ بِأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ wajib. Who said that to make intercession via the dead is wajib. It's compulsory. فَإِنَّ صَاحِبَ الْقَبْرِ تَأْثِيرًا أَقْوَى مِنْ تَأْثِيرِ الْحَيِّ. Because this Azhari said that in his letter, he says, because the person of the grave, he is stronger in his effect than the effect of the dua of the living. As long as, this Azhari writes, as long as the person who makes this intercession, he must not يعتقد أن الله هو الفاعل. He must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who actually does the job. Yes, he asked the dead person, but he, in his heart, he believes that yes, I'm asking this dead man, this who I consider to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I believe that ultimately it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does it. The other thing, of course, is that this Azhari writes also that all the ayat in the Quran to do with shirk has got nothing to do with Muslims. All the ayat that Allah wrote about the mushriks is only addressed to the mushriks, to the mushriku, not to the Muslims. This is Sheikh Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, says, this is the umbrella under which and through which the understanding of shirk is communicated. And this is the foundation upon which misguided so-called ulama and other people, they build this fickle base for their own purposes. You will see them in our society. You will see why they do this. You think, well, the man is an alim, he's a sheikh, you know. But he does this. Look at his life. And see why. It's either for money, or it's for fame, name, nothing else they can do. Or it's for whatever, to pander to the needs of the simple man who doesn't understand, who thinks that Islam is a culture, it is a tradition, and our traditions are our deen, and our culture is our deen. They don't get spoken to this to them like I'm speaking to you directly and from the Quran. We'll see what this great alim says. He says, Alim Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali says, we, the ulama, who know Allah's deen, who believe in Allah, who do our research, who convince only from the Quran and from the authentic ahadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, we are disgusted. We are disgusted at this splendor, this beauty of Tawheed Al-Khalis, pure Tawheed, is being undermined by the very people who should support it and who should preach it. But what do many of the ulama say? This nonsense, shirk, everything is shirk. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. 13 years! The Prophet, which they love so much, they put so much salawat on him, they celebrate his birthday, they celebrate anything around him, they take barakah from his shoes, they wear it on their caps, and they stitch it onto their caps. But when it comes to all these adat, these traditions, they're silent. And we know what Allah says in the Quran. But let's see, let's continue. So he says, yes, you know, the true alim, the true abid worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shirk his responsibility and duty. And we know the suffering the Nabi went through. He eventually came to him and said to him, to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quraysh, man, Muhammad, just please kindly stop this. Lots of people have come to me. Cape Town, in Joburg, all over. Sheikh, just leave these people alone. What's wrong with you? You know, create this in community. Said, la hawla wa la quwwata. Imagine the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that. Imagine. But not imagine. He didn't say that. And Allah did tell him to give this message for 13 years. The Muslims were only referred to as Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in Medina. Only from Medina Allah referred to the Muslims as, oh, you people who believe. Because only then was there a small community of Muslims. But 13 years there was no small community of Muslims. Very few Muslims. So let's look at this. These smoke screens of evidence that Imam Ghazali says these people put forward as their proof. First of all, to say that the sinner doesn't have a window to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he cannot speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he should get himself a third party to speak to Allah on his behalf, who he feels is more pious than him. This has no basis in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No basis at all. And I'm just going to quote what he says. He says, "Inna Iblis da'a rabbahu mubasharatan wa ujib." He says, Iblis. You know who's Iblis? La'ana Allah. We say, "A'udhu billah himina shaytan rajib." I seek refuge in Allah from shaytan. This very shaytan, he spoke directly to Allah. Allah answered him. What did he say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did shaytan say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In this verse which Allah, which Imam Ghazali quotes, Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, ayah 36 to 38. Allah says, no, Iblis says, قال, he said, Rabbi, Lord, فَأَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Iblis said to Allah, oh Allah, oh Lord, grant me respite, give me a chance. Give me a chance with the believers until the day of Ba'ath, until the day of Qiyamah. In other words, all of life you must give me this chance. Qal. Allah, what did Allah? Allah answered him. Allah, Shaitan spoke to Allah and Allah answered him. He asked Allah, he made dua to Allah. Allah, give me a chance. Let me do this. Give me a chance. I want. See how strong their faith is in you. Maybe. Qala, Allah said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّكَ, you will be of those who will get respite. Otherwise, I'm allowing you. You will not be able, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, the real Muslims will never be given to shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you'll be of ugly respite. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Only to a known time which is known to me. You'll have time. But that time is not till the day people rise from the grave. That is my time. I will give to you. So here we have a clear, clear example, says Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali, of not a sinner that speaks to Allah, of Shaitan, Iblis himself, who spoke to Allah directly and Allah answered him directly. So, it means that a Muslim who gets told, oh brother, you know, you've done so much, subhanAllah, please go to that person, he will help you, he's a very pious person. It means if we say that to a sinner, it means that sinner must be worse than shaitan. You're actually telling the person, you know, you're such a bad person, you need so much spiritual upliftment, and people must blow over you and pour water over your head and do anything, whatever that you need to have done to you, so you get. You're actually telling that person, you want, you're worse than shaitan. Because shaitan spoke to one, Allah answered him. Subhanallah. وَالْمُشْرِكُونَ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُبَاشَرَةً وَأُجِيبُ. Imam Ghazali says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran about the mushrikun who spoke to Allah and Allah answered them. The mushrikun made dua to Allah. First example in the Quran, as I told you, Surah Al-Hijr, ayah 36, ayah to ayah 38. Shaitan spoke to Allah. So brother, if you consider yourself lower than shaitan, will you speak via somebody else or ask somebody else? Allah didn't. Subhanallah, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. Allah says, verily Allah forgives all sins to all Muslims. And all human beings if they come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the mushrikun. They made dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Yunus, the 10th Surah of the Quran, verse 22. What does Allah say? Allah says, دعه الله مخلصين له الدين لئن أنجينا من هذه لنكونن من الشاكرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mushrikun, they were on a ship in a storm. دعوا الله مخلصين, with ikhlas, with sincerity they made dua, Ya Allah, save us from the storm. Verily, if you save us from the storm, we will be of the Minash Shakirin, be very grateful to you. They were so sincere. Directly they spoke to Allah. Their gods were on land. Their gods were far away from their stone idols. So all then they said, Ya Allah, please save us. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ يَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ, when I saved them from the calamity of destruction on this boat in the storm, يَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. They went back to the old ways in seeking things in the dunya without having any rights. They ignored the haqq. After that, they ignored the haqq. So here Allah, even if you, anybody who addresses Allah directly, Allah answers him. Allah said, saved him. فهل عصاة المسلمين يحرمون من حق أخذ إبليس وجنود؟ Can we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deny a sinning Muslim his right? A right which Allah granted to Iblis and the Mushrikun, Allah will take away that right from a Muslim? Mushrikun. We don't talk about sin, we talk about shirk. Allah says He will never forgive it. But He's still their Lord. He answered Him. So my dear brother and sister and son, daughter, remember this for your whole life. You are never too sinful to raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't turn your head away from Allah. Always ask Allah. And if any man, woman or child comes to you in your life, to say to you, go with me to such and such a place, we are going to make dua there. You say, no. Allah is everywhere. I make dua right here. This is my place of dua. Any Muslim who falls into sin, and when I talk about sin, I talk about the worst sins, which we know what the worst sins are. So Imam Ghazali says, Rahimahullah, he says, any Muslim who falls into sin, it is for him to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with dua immediately. Min ghayr tawseet nabiyyin, without the intercession of a prophet, wala waliyyin, or a wali, a friend of Allah, ولا إنسان أو a human being, ولا شيطان or a شيطان. Subhanallah. And Ghazali says, don't turn. Allah's given you this. This is your right as a believer. as an abid, even as a disbeliever, to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have committed the error. Therefore, when you commit a sin, no matter how big it is, immediately say, Astaghfirullah. No matter what you did, if you committed the biggest sin, immediately when you realize, Astaghfirullah. Even if you knew before the time you were going to commit the sin, and shaitan and yourself together make you commit that sin, say afterwards, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Maybe you're still in the throes of committing the sin, you say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. You're pleading to Allah already to forgive you. And I always say, if you commit a sin, try and say Astaghfirullah. Whatever it is, small or big, immediately after you say Astaghfirullah. Why? Because when you commit a sin, remember, this angel sitting here, he writes, oh, Faik, you just did this. Bad deed. Then this one will say to this one, the one on your right, shoulder, you will say to one left shoulder, oh, brother, just hold on a bit, man. Let's see if he's going to make tawbah. Let's see if he's going to make istighfar. Don't write so quickly. Wait. Give him a chance. Which means that if you say astaghfirullah immediately, or as soon as you commit the sin, because you want to always commit sin, you'll make the same sin again maybe 1,000 times. But the point is, when you make your dua and seek your tawbah, nothing is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the room. Nothing is in the room besides you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After when you raise your hands, you don't raise it like this down to people on the ground. No. You raise your hands to the heavens, to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Ghazali quotes the verse, and those فَعْلُوا فَاحِشَةً, who does an evil deed or does wrong to themselves, and they remember Allah and they ask Allah to forgive them for their sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and who will forgive them except me? Who will forgive sins except me? That's Allah's job. That's the main job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sorry, I mustn't say it in such plain language. But there's no one else who can do that. No one else can forgive. Yeah, your parents can forgive you in this dunya, Allah will take it into account. But for forgiveness for the big things that we do and the small things that we do continuously, that is entirely illallah, except Allah. So if somebody comes to you and says, don't worry, man, you join us, you know, this man is a great man, he's a, whatever they call him, you know, and on day of Qiyamah, don't worry, you know, we will be with him and he will intercede for us and, you know, and Allah will forgive us. No, 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 brother, please don't talk nonsense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah says, and who will forgive sins except only Allah? No intercession required. And don't think of yourself as so low, to be below shaitan, not to be able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ghazali makes a very good point. He says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that he will not forgive you for that sin, then even a Nabi can make dua for you and Allah won't forgive you. Why? Because that's Allah's job. That's part of the uluhiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Part of the, that Allah is the Lord. And he, with him rests the final decision. Yes, on the day of Qiyamah, Anbiya will intercede for us. But if even on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to accept the indecision of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah decides. That's a final decision. There's no person on the dunya who can intercede for you. Allah will allow to intercede for you, but who has the final say? Finally, Allah will say. Sorry. I can't do this. And I want to give an example of this to end off. I said that even if a Nabi makes dua for you, Allah will not accept it if Allah doesn't want to accept it. even the intercession of a Nabi, of a living prophet. Let's assume the prophet was alive. And he went to him and he said, "Oh prophet, please, I was a bad man. Please ask Allah to forgive me." Allah decides, no. It's no. Ala tara. Do you not see rufata istighfar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejected the istighfar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li Abdillah ibn Ubay? Ibn Ghazali says, don't you know of Abdullah ibn Ubay, the chief of the munafiqun? When he died, Prophet made, his son came, he was a very good Muslim, and came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, please will you ask Allah to forgive my father?" So the Prophet made dua. "Oh Allah, forgive Abdullah ibn Ubay." Prophet had a soft heart. Made dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reveal to him the following verse. Istaghfir lahum. Allah says, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether you ask me for forgiveness for them, oh la yastaghfir lahum, or you don't ask me for forgiveness for them." Allah says, beautiful woman. Allah says to them, what does Allah say? "Oh my messenger, if you ask me to forgive them, or if you don't ask me to forgive them, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. Allah says, then Allah says even more. Allah says, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you ask me to forgive them 70 times. I mean, most beloved of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, even if you ask me to forgive this munafiqun 70 times. فَلَنْ يَخْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ فَلَنْ لَنْ لَنْ means never ever. Allah says, I will never ever ever forgive them. Subhanallah. استغفر الله لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Here was the Prophet putting his hands up to the sama, saying, Allah forgive Abdullah ibn Ubay. What does Allah say? Whether you ask me to forgive them or you don't ask me to forgive them. You ask me 70 times to forgive them, I will never forgive them. The word lan means never. Allah will say, I will not forgive them. I'll say, never, ever. This dunya and qiyamah, I will never forgive them. What is the message? I, Allah alone, forgives. Yes, Allah listens to the intercession. And Allah listened to the dua of the Nabi, and Allah gave him the answer. That is why Allah talks about Abdullah ibn Ubay also. Allah says, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. These munafiqun, when was the munafiq? He says with his tongue what's not in his heart. His tongue speaks what his heart is not saying. And his tongue doesn't speak what his heart is saying. He says, oh no, I can't speak about this. I know it's right, but you know, I can't speak about this because what will my community say? What will my family say? What will my friends say to me? Now he believes it's wrong, but his tongue says, oh, okay, but don't talk about that now, man. Munafiq. He knows the man is committing shirk when he goes to a grave. He puts up his hands and say, oh, but the man, you don't know what the man's intention is. Your act and your intention must comply before it is within the Sharia. You can't walk around naked in the street and people say, but don't condemn that man. You know, don't say anything to him. You don't know what is in his heart. And some people say, maybe he's a wali, you know, that's why he walks around like that. No, in Islam, if I make sujood on a grave, you can't say to me, you can't condemn that man. You don't know what his niyyah is, what is in his heart. No. Islam says, We judge the action. The action and the niyyah must go together. So if it's not intention, he mustn't do that act. Allah looks at your actions and Allah looks at your intention. You can say, well, the man is intending to just be nice to the person who's buried there and to show respect to him. No. Sujood is meant for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas, end of story. So, the Muslim, the Abd of Allah, the worst Abd of Allah, the one who's got the most sins, the one we think, oh, that man, he's in trouble with Allah. He's never fasted, he's never made salah, he's never gone for hajj, he's never given zakah, he's never done anything good in his life. He's abused his wife and his children and neighbors. There's no chance for him. No. You are not Allah. You cannot. Allah forgives every sin. Illa shirk. Except shirk. So inshallah, I hope to continue with this on Sunday. And then I also hope to say something about the afia healing. And again, my approach to everything in life is, what does the Quran say? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that if you are in a puzzle, if you don't know what the answer is, if you're not sure what the answer is, فَرُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, then refer the question to Allah and His Messenger. What does that mean? So Allah is not here. Allah sent us a book. Means Allah says, refer it back to my book, Al-Quran. And the Messenger also is not here. So what does Allah mean by Messenger? And refer it to the Sunnah of my Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a clear answer in the Quran, we don't go to the hadith because the Quran is clear. Quran is clear. Inna shirka dhulmun azeem. I won't forgive it. No matter what anybody else says. It's clear. That's where it ends. That's where the argument ends. And if the Quran is not clear, then we look for an explanation from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah's made this very clear in the Quran. And so it goes for every question. Salah, you can't say, must I make salah, must I make salah? Allah makes it clear in the salah. Wa aqimus salah, halas. You can't say, well, maybe the Prophet said something else. No, no, brother. The Quran is, Allah says, refer it first to me. And then you refer to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you refer it to him and you get a definitive answer about it, then you go to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see how you must implement the command which I gave in the Quran. Any scholar of Islam going to any institution that teaches Islam, that is the methodology that we are taught. If an issue arises, I can't say, well, but my father did that. My grandfather did that. The whole community is doing that. What's wrong with you? That's not the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there is a dispute, what must you do? If I say no and you say yes, what must we do first? We go to the Quran. Allah doesn't say, go to your culture, go to tradition. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to the Quran. And then you go to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah bless us with the understanding of these very important issues in our deen. So that on the day of Qiyamah, we'll stay in front of Allah with all our sins. But we would not have turned away from Allah in our du'as and in our asking and our reliance. Inshallah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. He who puts his trust in Allah, Allah is enough for him. Allah says, أُدَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. I don't understand why the people take you to the Kramat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call me and I will answer you. أُدَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Call me, I will answer you. Allah didn't say, call me in the Qabr stand or at the Qabr of somebody or in the Masjid or in Medina or in Makkah. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call me wherever you are. Rabbi Yunus was in the belly of the whale. He said, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He said, there is no ilah except Allah. See, that's the basis of dua. There's no ilah except Allah. I was wrong. He said to Allah, Ya Allah, I did wrong to myself. To myself. Allah saved him, of course. So may Allah SWT guide us, keep us safe. And may Allah SWT keep our iman safe, the iman of our children safe. And remember, if your children are not there, you should speak to them about this. That's your responsibility. This is my responsibility to speak to you. And you listen to it. That is your responsibility to carry it over to whoever you meet without fear or favor. Without fear or favor. Why? Because you can refer him to this lecture and say, the Shaykh quoted the Quranic verses. You come with your verses, then we'll see. Bring me your proof. The Shaykh said, bring your proof. Bring it to him also. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for listening. And please don't forget to press that subscribe button, please. And also the like button if you like the lecture. If you are pleased with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will press the like button. Say, but I love the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must press the like button. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.